Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn and Dorothy Gundy. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, Facebook likes can tell a lot about a person. In a 2013 study, researchers showed they could use Facebook likes to correctly predict personal information, including a user's sexual identity and ethnicity. The researchers could also predict a person's age, intelligence, and opinions about religion and politics. They could identify whether someone is happy or used addictive substances. They could even predict whether an individual's parents would stay together until the person turned 21 years old. The study was based on information from 58,000 volunteers who provided likes to Facebook, the American social media company. The findings were published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The researchers used computer programs to look for hard-to-establish patterns, such as a link between a love for curly fries and higher intelligence. The 2013 study found that Facebook users who rated high on openness often liked Hello Kitty brand products. They also were more likely to be of African-American ancestry and support Democratic Party values. Many businesses urge people to log on to their websites with Facebook or other social media accounts. This, in turn, provides companies with a complete picture of the user's birthday, list of friends, schools attended, and other personal information. Marketers often use Facebook likes and other digital records to sell products and improve services. The researchers warned about the possible misuse of digital records and personal information. They said marketers can collect information about large numbers of people without asking for their approval and without them noticing. They said companies, governmental agencies, or even one's Facebook friends could gather data that an individual may not have wanted to share. Last week, Facebook reported that a private company called Cambridge Analytica did just that with data from its social media website. Facebook said Cambridge Analytica collected private information, including Facebook likes, from more than 50 million Facebook users. It said the company got the information from 270,000 people who downloaded a software program described as a personality test. Those individuals agreed to share personal information for a study. A researcher also took the information of all their Facebook friends, a move that was permitted under Facebook's rules until 2015. The researcher then sold the information to Cambridge Analytica, which used the data during the 2016 election campaign in the United States. The company worked for then-candidate Donald Trump. However, a Trump campaign official said the campaign used Republican data sources, not Cambridge Analytica, for voter information. Facebook suspended Cambridge Analytica for violating its rule, and it was considering legal action against the company. Those measures might not be enough to satisfy U.S. and British officials. Britain's Information Commissioner, Elizabeth Denham, said she is seeking permission to search Cambridge Analytica's London headquarters. She wanted to see whether Facebook did enough to protect users' personal information about themselves and their friends. Several U.S. lawmakers want Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg to speak to Congress about the use of its users' information.
The suspect who killed 17 people at a Florida high school last month took part in a school program that included training in shooting skills. The man charged in the attack, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, was a former student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where the February 14th shooting happened. Cruz had been a member of the school's Army Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps. The JROTC program is operated by the U.S. Department of Defense. The organization has about 314,000 high school age members called cadets. The program is modeled after the U.S. military forces, and members wear military-style uniforms. The Defense Department describes the JROTC program as a character and leadership development program for the nation's high school students. JROTC training and activities include leadership development, discipline, physical fitness, and community service. Members can also complete military drills and receive training in gun safety and shooting. Air rifles are used for training and competitions.
Many local JROTC leaders are retired officers from the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. Some students join the group to prepare for planned military service after graduating. But JROTC leaders say most members do not end up joining the military. Three victims killed in the Parkland, Florida shooting were current members of the JROTC program at the school. Some former JROTC cadets spoke to the Associated Press about target shooting with Nicholas Cruz and attending competitions with him. "He was a very good shot," said 20-year-old Aaron Diener. He says he gave Cruz rides to shooting competitions when they were on the same four-member team in 2016. "He had an AR-15 he talked about and pistols he had shot," Diener added. "He would tell us, 'Oh, it was so fun to shoot this rifle,' or 'It was so fun to shoot that.' It seemed almost therapeutic to him, the way he spoke about it." Kyle Ramos, another cadet in the same JROTC group, told the AP that Cruz spoke about guns and knives a lot and liked to wear military-style clothing to school. He said he also talked about shooting animals, like squirrels and lizards, with pellet guns for fun.
The Florida school mass shooting led some major companies to cut ties with the National Rifle Association, or NRA.
Some stores decided to raise the age to 21 to buy guns in their stores. Others said they would no longer sell assault-style weapons. In the attack, Cruz used an AR-15 semi-automatic weapon that was bought legally. The NRA is the largest American organization representing the interests of gun owners. The organization also provides money to some schools for JROTC. It supports other school programs meant to get students interested in shooting sports. These include gun teams, hunting safety classes, and farming groups. A recent AP investigation found the NRA provided more than $7.3 million in grants to hundreds of U.S. schools from 2010 through 2016. NRA financial records studied by the Associated Press show the organization provides grants to schools through its Friends of NRA program. The NRA says the money supports national, state, and local shooting sports programs. The NRA reports on its website it awarded a total of 3,000 grants in 2017.
The AP investigation showed the largest amount of NRA grant money went to JROTC programs. Grants are often provided to schools as equipment rather than money. This could include guns, ammunition, safety equipment, and improvements to shooting areas. Nationally, about $1.3 million in grants were provided as money, while $6 million was provided through equipment, training, and other costs, AP reported. There are other large non-school organizations that receive NRA grant money. American 4-H youth groups received $12.2 million since 2010, the AP reported. The Boy Scouts of America got about $4 million. Private gun groups also received grants. The NRA Foundation did not return calls seeking comment from the AP. Schools are required to apply for grant awards. But the AP reported that as of March 9th, only two school districts had decided not to accept NRA grants following the Parkland shooting. Broward County Public Schools, where the attack happened, was the first to decide to stop accepting NRA money. Denver Public Schools also recently said it would turn down several NRA grants that were to be awarded this year.
Billy Townsend is a school board member in Florida's Polk County District, which received $33,000 for JROTC. Whatever I think of the NRA, they're providing legitimate educational services, he told the AP. He added that he would not have any problem with the NRA continuing to provide money for air guns for JROTC. Sergeant Jim Flores, a JROTC teacher at Cibola High School in Albuquerque, New Mexico, agrees. He says the program offers young people a lot more than gun training. The safety that we're teaching, the good citizenship that we're teaching here, those are the things you don't hear about, he said.
School board members in some districts said they didn't know about the NRA grants. Donna Corbett is a school board member in Southern Indiana's New Albany Floyd County School Corporation. She said she did not know that $65,000 went to a JROTC program at a high school. She says she plans to bring up the issue for discussion with the board. But overall, she finds the JROTC program good and said she is not sure she would want all grant money cut because of the gun training. Jana Cox is a parent in Louisiana's Cato Parish. She says few people in her area would have a problem with the $24,000 in NRA grants that went to school JROTC programs. Everyone here has guns. This is North Louisiana. You've got a lot of hunters, and you've got a lot of guns, she said. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In November of 1863, President Abraham Lincoln traveled to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He went there to make a speech at a ceremony establishing a military burial ground. 5 months earlier, Confederate General Robert E. Lee had marched his army up from Virginia to invade the North. The Union Army of the Potomac went after him. They met at Gettysburg in the bloodiest battle of the Civil War. Kay Gallant and Frank Oliver tell the story of Abraham Lincoln's speech, the Gettysburg Address.
The Battle of Gettysburg lasted 3 days. General Lee threw his men against the Union Army. The Northern soldiers refused to break. Lee, at last, had to stop fighting. Badly hurt, his army went back to Virginia. Lee left behind a battlefield covered with Confederate dead. More than 3,000 Confederate soldiers had been killed. Union losses were almost as heavy. 2,500 Union soldiers had been killed. The terrible job of clearing the battlefield fell to the Union soldiers who had won the battle. Many thousands on both sides had been wounded. The wounded were moved to medical centers for treatment. The dead were buried. Most of the bodies were buried where they fell. The Confederate dead generally were buried together in large, shallow graves. Union troops who fell were buried in separate graves all over the battlefield.
A few weeks after the battle, the governor of Pennsylvania visited Gettysburg. As he walked over the battlefield, he saw where rains had washed away the earth, covering many of the fallen soldiers. He said men who died so bravely should have a better resting place than that. The governor said a new cemetery should be built for the bodies of the Union soldiers. He asked the governors of other northern states to help raise money for the cemetery. Within a month, there was money enough to buy a large area of the battlefield for a military cemetery. Work began almost immediately. The human remains were moved from other places on the battlefield and put into graves in the new cemetery.
The governor planned a ceremony in November 1863 to dedicate the Gettysburg Cemetery. He invited governors and congressmen from each state in the Union. he asked a former senator and governor of Massachusetts, Edward Everett, to give the dedication speech. An invitation was sent to the White House, too. The governor asked President Lincoln to come to the ceremony. He asked Lincoln to say a few words. Lincoln agreed to do so. He felt it was his duty to go. He wanted to honor the brave men who had died at Gettysburg. Lincoln hoped his words might ease the sorrow over the loss of these men and lift the spirit of the nation.
Lincoln was advised to talk about democracy. He recently had received a letter from a man in Massachusetts. The man had just returned from a visit to Europe. The man told Lincoln that Europeans saw the war more clearly than Americans, who were in the middle of it. He said they saw it as a war between the people and an aristocracy. The South, he said, was ruled by a small group of aristocrats. He said once the people understood that it was a war for democracy, they would win it quickly. The man urged Lincoln to explain to the common people that the war was not the North against the South, but democracy against the enemies of democracy.
Lincoln was busy during the 2 weeks before the ceremony at Gettysburg. He did not have much time to work on his speech. He decided what to say, but he did not choose the exact words he would use. Lincoln left Washington November 18th for the train ride to Gettysburg. The train stopped in Baltimore. A crowd waited to see him. An old man came up and shook Lincoln's hand. He told the president that he had lost a son in the fighting at Gettysburg. Lincoln said he understood the man's sorrow. Lincoln said to the old man, "When I think of the sacrifices of life still to be offered, and the hearts and homes to be made lonely before this terrible war is over, my heart is like lead. I feel at times like hiding in a deep darkness."
Lincoln arrived at Gettysburg at sundown. He had dinner. Then he went to his room to complete the speech he would give the next day. He worked for several hours. Finally, it was done. The next morning, Lincoln, on horseback, led a slow parade to the new cemetery. A huge crowd waited before the place where Lincoln and the other important visitors would sit. Military bands played. Soldiers saluted.
The ceremonies began with a prayer. Then Edward Everett rose to speak. Everett stood silent for a moment. He looked out across the battlefield and the crowds that now covered it. He began to talk about the Civil War and what had caused it. He spoke about Lee's invasion of the North. He told how northern cities would have fallen had Lee not been stopped at Gettysburg. He praised the men who had given their lives in the great battle. Everett spoke for almost 2 hours. He closed his speech with the hope that the nation would come out of the war with greater unity than ever before. Then Lincoln stood up. He looked out over the valley, then down at the papers in his hand. He began to read.
Four score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work for which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The crowd applauded for several minutes. Then the people began to leave. Lincoln turned to a friend. He said he feared his speech had been a failure. He said he should have prepared it more carefully. Edward Everett did not agree with Lincoln. He said the president's speech was perfect. He said the president had said more in 2 minutes than he, Everett, had said in 2 hours. Newspapers and other publications praised Lincoln's Gettysburg address. Said one, "The few words of the president were from the heart, to the heart. They cannot be read without emotion." Abraham Lincoln went back to Washington that night. He was very tired. Within a week, his secretary announced that the president was sick. He was suffering from smallpox.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.